And because you subscribe to the podcast, you get a little bit of a Christmas bonus. Wouldn't we all love a Christmas bonus? But here's yours. Heather, take it away.
Hey, guys, we're going to have an audio advent this December, also available on our YouTube channel, so please check that out. But if you subscribe to the podcast, every day you'll get either a little bit of music or you'll get a story about the angels in our lives who help us achieve our better selves.
And that comes from past guests who you will recognize. And they were so generous to say, oh, I'd love to share one of those stories.
Yes, we had dozens of people respond and say they want to tell about the angel in their life. So look for that. It'll be dropping every day. We're super excited to bring it to you, and we hope it makes your winter season a little brighter.
When we hear the drums, it's so powerful. It literally can heal you. I feel like this release and this peace, and this is who I am. We want to share our treasures and our traditions that are good, that can help strengthen your testimony with Jesus Christ. And we know that with our traditions and with Jesus Christ, with that together, there's so much healing that can be done. And so we dance to celebrate the Creator.
On In Good Faith, we believe that all faith traditions have something to teach us about how God is working in the world and in our lives. So join us as we listen and learn. Welcome to In Good Faith. Today, I'm so excited to introduce you to the guest you just heard from. She talked about traditions, and she has found a way to combine two very different traditions that were part of her early life into one spiritual whole in a way I think is really, really very beautiful. This is Cindy Quinney.
Yeah, Cindy Quinney is the executive director of Gathering of Tribes, which is working to meet the needs of indigenous Latter-day Saints. They produce media, they organize events, they serve their communities in different kinds of service projects, and she's an enrolled member of the Onion Lake Cree Nation and currently lives in Calgary. And yeah, it's a kind of lovely to hear this healing process that she goes through, not just in her Christian conversion, but also just throughout her life as she gets to know Jesus better.
I started by asking where she began traditionally about her childhood.
I lived with my biological mother and family up until the age of 10. Then my life changed and I ended up living with an LDS, non-Indigenous family. So I had that connection to tradition and my family roots. There was some difficult years, but there were some good memories as well with my grandmother and my aunts. And that is something that I hold on to. For me, I see it as a blessing to have been in both worlds, to see different perspectives. By living with a non-Indigenous family, and I just saw everyone as brother and sister. And having that and then remembering my culture, I lost my language, but I still remember some words. So like my biological mother and I still talk with my aunt, and sometimes I'll put them on three-way and they'll talk in Cree and I'll just listen. And I absolutely love it. And sometimes I can pick up words here and there, but I don't know, there's just something peaceful in my heart when I hear my language. So I would say that it's just my family connections.
Yeah. And I read this beautiful thing about that your grandmother gave you the name Redstone Woman. What does that mean?
It's a sacred stone that's made for a pipe, and the pipe is just to represent like cleansing. And so my grandmother gave that to me as a child. We just went through a whole ceremony where she prays, and then she gave me the blessing, and then you have a ribbon and you have to go out into the forest and then you have to find a tree and then you wrap this ribbon, red ribbon, around the tree just to remember that sacredness of the name and being attached to creation. And so I think that name for me, as I've gotten older, has helped me because I return to it a lot, you know, like thinking about my testimony, being solid as a rock and trying to remember who I am. You know, I'm Cindy Quinney, but I'm Redstone Woman, which is Miko Elskaniesko in Cree. Before I moved in with my foster family, my father, they went to Jasper and they were walking, and my father found a rock with a red face on it before I met them. But they told me that story, that they wanted to adopt a girl, and then I came into their life. And I still have that stone actually sitting on my mantle at home.
What a nice connection there.
I know.
It's kind of reassuring to you.
It is. Yeah, it is.
So all across North America, there's this interesting, I want to say dichotomy. We think of it as two separate things. So there are the native populations, and then there's the culture that came in with colonization. And so, as you said, you've really grown up as part of two worlds, but it seems like the task of everyone in that situation to become one person. What has that process been like for you?
I had bad memories as a child from childhood trauma. And when I moved with my new family, I wanted to kind of erase that side of me.
Right.
Because of the memories. And so when I looked in the mirror, I didn't want to be who I was. So what happened eventually was I had an identity crisis. And at that time, trying to figure out who I was, I went down the wrong path. But I've now come back and grown to understand that that part of me is actually beautiful. And that God gave me this body. He gave me this face. He gave me my family. He gave the roots, those roots to me, to try to understand who I am. And so I can put those two together and find my identity. I can be Indigenous and a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I can use that with the help of the Spirit to spread the word to others who might feel the same way. And so that's how I connect as one with the Creator.
How did the Gathering of Tribes come together then?
That's another story. Being at church, I didn't see anyone else that looked like me in my communities. After I got my temple recommend, I went to the temple and I saw an Indigenous man there, two braids and a white shirt. And so I had to say hello because I was fascinated to see an Indigenous man at the temple. And so we became friends, started talking. He invited me to a Sunday meeting and it was on the reserve. And so I went and it's about a 45-minute drive towards the mountains. And we sat under a tree. And all these Indigenous members of the church bore their testimony. And I felt this peace and this love and this just welcoming feeling of love of Christ. And I wanted more of that. And I remember telling the missionaries, we have to invite more people. Like, this, there's got to be more people. And so that's kind of how I felt about it. And then the Spirit prompted me a few times to have a conference. But I just kind of ignored the Spirit a few times. But I finally got on my knees and prayed and said, well, if this is what you want me to do, I need your help because I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. I need you to send the right people to help this happen. And Heavenly Father answered. And we've had 5 gatherings so far. We now have a website. We've started a nonprofit. We have a podcast, an Indigenous taught podcast. So it's been a miracle.
I wonder if you'd tell me the different experiences that you hear from people when they come to those.
They are so happy to see that the church hasn't forgotten them. And when they heard about the first gathering, they were super excited. And so they traveled. And we had one in Calgary the first time. And what they love the most about it is that feeling of being welcomed and loved and seen, and to be with brothers and sisters that have a testimony of Jesus Christ and a love for him as well. And they look the same. Maybe not exactly the same, we're all different tribes, but I feel like that's created a community and everyone who comes feels welcome. Not only that, we have volunteers. So we usually ask for volunteers who are in the area to come. And so when they come, they also bring a love with them. And so in Mesa, on the Thursday night when they came and they were setting up the tables, my committee and I showed up to help out. And when we came in, they had all these tables set up and they had music playing. And we walked up with them and we started to put tablecloths on the table together. So a total stranger that I didn't know started to do that.
Yeah.
And one of my committee members just burst into tears because she's like, this is so beautiful because this is what we're trying to create, that we can love one another despite our differences. We can create that kingdom of God here on earth with that Christ-like love. And that's what the gathering is about. I've had people ask, when's the next gathering? What's happening? Like, people have asked in Canada, people have asked in Utah and in Mesa. And so with a fantastic committee that I work with, this gathering isn't me. It is really the guidance of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, as well as everyone that we work with, the leaders, the volunteers, the committee members that I work with. And we have a different committee in each city. And so we're trying to also encourage them to use their leadership skills, because we all have that. If Heavenly Father can talk to each and every one of us and tell us and guide us on how to do something that we think is impossible. I thought it's impossible, but I have this faith and I trust Heavenly Father. And I've now dedicated my whole life to the gathering. So I've had people ask me, when are you going to be done this gathering work? Well, when Jesus comes again, I'll be finished.
I wonder if you could tell me what kind of elements you put together in a gathering, combining faith and belief and the church you're part of, and also indigenous traditions and practices.
One thing about indigenous people is that we've always had a relationship with the Creator. Mm-hmm. The purpose of the gathering is for us to remind them of who He is, to rebuild that relationship that might have been severed, or they've just haven't worked on that relationship. So incorporating our tradition. So in the Book of Mormon, it talks about traditions and how...
Some good, some not so good.
Exactly. So, but there's some people who literally think that all traditions are bad. Mm. And it actually really hurts my heart when I hear an indigenous person say that, because I think they're missing out, because they need to have that connection to seeing how their people have had their relationship with the Creator. And through the gathering, we're able to include the drums. The drum is a universal language in every culture. The drum is like the heart. And it symbolizes to me what else is universal. The spirit in every language and every culture. And so when we hear the drums, it's so powerful. It literally can heal you. And I don't think people understand that. So as an indigenous person, when I hear the drums, I feel like this release and this peace, and this is who I am. And I recognize the drums since I was little. So we want to show that to also non-indigenous. We want to share our treasures and our traditions that are good, that can help strengthen your testimony with Jesus Christ. And we know that with our traditions and with Jesus Christ, with that together, there's so much healing that can be done. And so we dance to celebrate the Creator. Talents help us to strengthen a relationship with Heavenly Father, right? Because what He's a Creator as well. So when we create something, we're trying to learn to be like Him. So with our regalia, every little piece means something when we put it on. Like this necklace. Someone looks at it and like, oh yeah, it's beautiful. But if you look at every little tiny bead that the person put together to make this, there's a lot of time and talent. So in Mesa, I had an 8-year-old lady, and one of the brethren had his son, and he was 7 years old. And he came up to me and his father, and he's like, what are those feathers in her thing that she's holding? And I said, it's called a fan. And I stopped and I realized, I'm going to introduce you. So I brought him over to her and I introduced him so they could have that conversation. And as an elder, she could teach him what it meant. And I think that's what's important about the two different cultures, our cultures, and every culture, is that we need to share that and open that correspondence with one another so there's no fear. If you don't understand something, you're scared mm-hmm. of it, right? But we need to open that up and show everybody it's not scary. We want to teach you. We want to answer questions, because we know that some people ask us, well, what do I call you? What's the proper Native, Indigenous, Aboriginal? Like, what? Well, you can call me Cindy. But do you know what I mean? Like, that's part of the gathering, is to have non-Indigenous who have questions to feel comfortable to come and ask questions. And so we incorporate those traditions along with teachings, because we're teaching about Jesus Christ and testifying of Jesus Christ. So that's what the gathering is about. It's a free family event where everyone's welcome to come and participate.
And I read that there was, I think I saw this on the website, that you're trying to set up service opportunities.
Yes. So that's part of the nonprofit that we're working on. I've heard the General Relief Society president see it in a video one time. And they said, we like to help with temporal needs because you need those temporal needs to be taken care of before you can take care of your spiritual needs. And so they help all over the world. And I stopped and I realized there are indigenous people right now who are suffering in this country, who live on reserves, who struggle with getting food, or who struggle with addictions, who are still having problems today. Mm-hmm. And so with this nonprofit, we're hoping that we can also help them. We're trying to work on a project, like a virtual food box, so we can help somehow. There's a lot of other ideas that we have, like mothers that maybe can't afford, you know, products that they need for their children. So we're just trying to put that all together.
You know, you mentioned having gone down a wrong path for a while. Mm-hmm. And I totally accept that. I believe that. In my mind, though, I sometimes think, are they wrong paths? Or somehow God leads us in interesting ways. And then I'm reading that you've worked as an interior decorator, also as a facilities management person. Do you feel like God has been preparing you for what you do now?
Yes, I have. I do. I'll go back to your first question about the wrong road. Actually, you're right. I would say a rough road. But I believe that we are given opposition and problems to help strengthen us. And I was talking to a friend recently and I said, you know, that's how we learn. That's what Heavenly Father is trying to teach us, how to become stronger and strengthen us through our trials. Even though when we have a trial, it can be sad or upsetting or, you know, we can be depressed and we can look at that problem and be like, oh, I'm going to get through this. Or if we change that narrative and look at it and be like, what am I supposed to learn from this? You know, everything that I went through, I was supposed to go through. I almost died many times as a child. I was almost kidnapped 3 times. So I went through a lot of things as a child. But Heavenly Father kept me alive and I'm still here. And I was like, well, there must be a reason why I'm still here. But yeah, I would say He has always been in my life and guided me through my experiences. Like, I've always had experience being young women's secretary and the stake young women's secretary and the primary secretary. And I remember when I got the secretary again, I was like, really? Why am I secretary again? But I realized working on the first gathering, I actually needed those skills in order to put like things together, like all the paperwork.
Yeah. So church service for young women, for the young children, all of that.
Yeah. It helped prepare me to have that first gathering started. And I'm not saying I'm the greatest at it. I'm so thankful for Shane Manning and Amber Irwin, who are also on the committee, for all their work that they do and all the other committees that we have and for their talents, because this is done as a group and everyone has their talents that they bring to the table that help to make this successful. There have been some trials, don't get me wrong, but we've gotten through them.
I wondered, what was it? Was there a moment or was it just a gradual process? How did you feel God reaching out or what made you turn back towards God?
I turned back towards God because of my weaknesses. My weaknesses helped strengthen my relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I used to be really hard on myself because I used to loathe my weaknesses, right? So I've had to have that hard conversation with him when going through a weakness that I have and trying to ask him, like, I've been mad, I've been sad, I've been angry, you know, like, why do I have to have this particular weakness? Why couldn't it be something else? And what I want to tell and share is that Heavenly Father can still work with you if you have weaknesses. You know why? Because he knows your weaknesses already. So he's told me that. I know what you have, but we have Jesus Christ who's already paid that price for you. I look at myself differently now. I see my broken pieces as a blessing because I've had to rely on Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ to help me hold that together. If I drop a piece, I feel like they're like a broken vase. They're helping me to put it back on. Maybe another piece will pop out. Okay, help me put that back on. Let me keep going. And so my relationship with Jesus Christ is totally solidified. He's my best friend. And he is the reason why I'm a member of this church, because I have a direct relationship with him myself.
I think if God could only use the people with no problems, there would be nobody to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Heavenly Father changes us from the inside out, and he already knows. So you have to trust the Spirit that by trusting him, he's going to help you overcome those weaknesses in order to keep moving. And you know what? He's still going to be there. He's still there and still here with me, despite my imperfections. I live with chronic pain, and I have chronic migraines. And I had to come to Utah, and I had to drive from Calgary to Cardston. And I had a migraine for 3 days. And I had no idea how I was going to be able to drive. I got in the car at 3 o'clock in the morning and told Heavenly Father, okay, I'm going. I need your help. Halfway to Cardston, I was crying. I was like, how am I going to manage to do this? Because with the migraines, and anyone who suffers from migraines, you get brain fog. My adopted mother passed away in 2013 from cancer, but we used to do the drive to Cardston to go to the temple. This is funny, but my mother loved Patsy Cline. So we would play.
I fall to pieces.
Yeah, so for some reason, I remember that. I said, okay, Mom, and I threw on Patsy Cline, and I sang super loud, driving down the road, just thinking about my mother. Anyone looking at me would have thought I was crazy, but it got me to Cardston. And I pulled up and parked, and I was like, okay, I'm here. Heavenly Father gives me that strength while I'm doing the work.
You know, I was going to ask how doing this work strengthens your faith, but that's the story you're telling me right now, is the help you receive. And I love that you said, if this is what you want me to do, I need you to send me help, and that you have made those connections. That's got to be evidence to you. Is there something I should have asked, but I didn't know to ask?
I've heard people ask, and I've seen things online of people asking members of the church, what can I do to help the Indigenous people? What can I do? I want to help. You can do that by praying for us. Hmm. We have to gather our tribes because we've been separated so that we become one. So we are to help with the gathering of Israel. That strength that we will have will blow members' minds, because Heavenly Father, that's what he's waiting for. Jesus Christ is waiting for us to be one so that he can come back. And so we are family. We need to pray for each other. So I went to the Genesis group, the Black LDS community, yesterday, and I brought a bunch of friends. And it's funny because I had a friend who's Navajo. He's not used to being around any other culture because he lives, you know, in New Mexico. And he was loving it. He said, I never felt the Spirit so strong. And he said everything that they taught, they had this love. Like at one point, everyone was turning around. We had to say hello to our neighbor and introduce ourselves and hug each other and say, I love you and I need you and we need each other. And so you see this room full of people of different cultures talking, and it's incredible. You can be who you are and show up, because that is the community that we're trying to build. And so our brother yesterday, he said the same thing as that I say. He said, we need to pray for each other. And I said, yes. I said, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to pray for those who are lost, who are suffering, who've left the church, who are struggling. And we need the prayers of the saints to help us, because miracles happen. Heavenly Father hears our prayers. We need that help. We need your prayers to help all of us be one, because that's the strength we need to build the New Jerusalem.
Welcome back to In Good Faith. Before the break, we talked to Cindy Quinney about how she combined different parts of her childhood, the different traditions that were part of her heritage, one born into and one that she chose later. And I thought it was really interesting how she starts off talking personally, how she had to combine those as a Native American and then a Christian faith. But then later, she sort of puts it out into the broader community, how she sees everybody in their, to make unity, having to actually acknowledge what their traditions are and how we're different in order to act together, not just deciding, I'm not going to talk about this.
Yeah, something she says at the end of that interview is, we all need to work to become one because we need that strength to bring about what she's going to call the New Jerusalem. And she's probably right about that, you guys.
Probably. I also loved hearing her talk about the drums and the connection to the Creator that her indigenous tradition brought to her perspective on Christianity. And it reminded me of a couple episodes ago with Mark Glanville when we talked about different prayer languages. And I think we all, either from our family, cultural, whatever kind of traditions or aspects of our life, we all have something to bring to our relationship with God that is unique to us.
One of the things that really touched me in her interview was her saying, I didn't have people who looked like me at church. And then talking about, as an adult, going to the temple and seeing someone who she knew was Native and how much that meant to her. And if you don't know, temple attendance is very sacred for Latter-day Saints. And so the idea that she would have almost like a gift, here's someone that you can connect with there at the temple, I think is a lovely idea. And I think it's important for us to remember how we've all benefited from seeing someone who looks like us at church. And how do we sort of make that possible for other people who come to church and might not see people that they look like?
And in a time where, especially in Canada, but other places, it is being acknowledged that there was a wrong push to eradicate Native traditions, when she combines them with members of her faith now and has a drum circle, and she talks about, you brought it up, Aaliyah, mm-hmm. just that combination, and how she says how healing that was for her. Really just combining all of who she was, I think, in one spiritual whole. Many thanks to Cindy Quinney for speaking with us today. This episode was produced by Heather Bigley. Our production team also includes Aaliyah Ebert, Leah King, Katarina Martinez, Josh Orton, and James Sturdivant. Our post-production sound designers are Lauren Sandberg, Mark Hansen, and Brandon Lewis. In Good Faith is committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. We hope you'll leave us a comment or a review wherever you get your podcast. That helps spread the word. And we love to spread interfaith understanding. We think it could not hurt today's world. Find us on social media. On Twitter, In Good Faith Pod. Instagram and Facebook are In Good Faith Podcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@in-good-faith. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. I hope you join us again soon, right here, In Good Faith. Let me tell you about Kaboom, a thrilling audio adventure podcast made for the whole family to enjoy together. Whether it's a teleportation experiment gone wrong or an ancient Viking curse wreaking havoc on the high school football team, Kaboom has an adventure made just for you. With a new adventure every episode, you'll meet magical creatures, explore outer worlds, and maybe learn some valuable life lessons along the way. Subscribe to Kaboom on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.